When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Bingity bong, gada bing bing bong. It's freezing and cold, and I'm grumpy. Hello.
That's right. Take two, because take one was 4 hours ago when our daughter was napping, not napping. And so we didn't do it. And now we're back again, and we're like, ugh.
Oh, no. And just in case this is the very first episode, it's pretty much always like this.
Yeah.
I'm Claire James here, also. We are married, and where you recommend you stuff. And this week.
It doesn't get worse.
It doesn't get worse.
This is as bad as it gets in terms of episode quality.
Which is...
It's good to know.
It's a fairly average show.
Yeah.
Done by two very tired humans.
That's right. And it's more of a side project for both of us, you know what I mean? So, anyway, thanks for listening.
It's not a side project.
You've got your other podcast or whatever where you do research and interviews.
This is my favourite thing.
Oh, well, it's not my favourite thing.
This is your, like, side project.
Definitely.
Fine.
That you're taking that as like you're my side project because we're married.
Yes, and also this lovely podcast. God.
I guess it's also insulting people who like this podcast.
Well, what are you saying? This podcast isn't as great as your other more popular podcast.
Certainly not as successful. Anyway, let's get on with it, Claire. What have you got for suggestible this week?
Do you want to not do this podcast anymore?
I love doing this podcast almost as much as my other
project. This project. Just because you've been doing low-key madness and you're exhausted.
It's true. Well, if anyone's going low-key madness, it's Collings with his editing. But anyway, sorry, go on.
All right. Okay, so my first suggestion is a show called Physical.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and I keep singing the song, Let's Get Physical.
Why?
Physical, because obviously it's the title of the show.
Okay.
Anywho, and it's also about aerobics as well.
Oh.
But it's not the story of Olivia Newton-John or something behind those, or
it's
Jane Fonda or something like that.
A telling movie about Olivia Newton-John.
Of course there is. There's many.
Let me look that
Delta
up while
Goodrem
you're
stars in one of them.
Yes,
this Australian pop singer. Anywho, this one is starring Rose Byrne, and it's created and written by Annie Wiseman, and it's on Apple TV. And as you have said many times, it's surprising. There are quite a lot of really good shows on Apple TV.
They got some stuff, man.
I know.
And they got some stuff coming up. You saw that one that's got Key and or Peele, and it's this trapped in a musical, a horrible musical.
Yes. Yes, yeah. It looks kind of good.
We just finished Trying season 2.
Oh, it's so good.
You're right. There was a Delta Goodrem TV miniseries called Olivia Newton-John, Hopelessly Devoted to You.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much. I was correct.
Olivia Trivia Newton.
Yeah, Olivia Trivia. Oh, that rhymes too. So back to Physical.
Oh, ratings not good.
Yeah, well, I tried to watch it. It was awful. Anywho, can I get on with my recommendation of the thing that is good?
Take that, Delta.
Can I?
Yes,
I know this is your side project, but can you stay on track, please?
Yes.
Oh, we're all so tired. It's okay. Rose Byrne stars in Physical. It's a quietly tortured... Why are you laughing?
You say that so weird. Physical.
Because that's how I'm singing in my head. Let's get physical. Physical.
It's not right.
You want to get...
Anyway,
there's also some milk in Australia called Physical.
I think that's where you got
it
right.
It must be. Anyway, I'm sorry, Rose Byrne and Annie Wiseman. Rose Byrne is excellent in this. She plays a quietly tortured woman who supports her husband's bid for state assembly while battling personal demons until she finds release through the world of aerobics.
Yes. Now, does she invent aerobics, or is she the one who brings it to the mainstream?
No. So it's played out at kind of at the end of the 70s, I guess, in towards the 80s.
Mm.
And she has an eating disorder. So one of the really, I guess, massive things about this show is it depicts her inner critic and her inner voice that's really nasty. And it's kind of very clear that she's this incredibly beautiful woman who's incredibly intelligent and has come from a very wealthy family and fell for this guy who turns out to be a complete idiot and pretty selfish and awful.
Sure.
But at the time when she fell for him, he was like a star in the political kind of scene in the 70s, you know, and really progressive and out there campaigning for change, social change. And so she fell for him during that. And so she kind of helped support his campaign and has kind of been helping him while he lectured at university. And so she's raising their daughter and being the kind of domestic person in the background of everything, where it becomes very clear that what's happened is he's kind of gone off the boil. He was never actually that interesting. And he's kind of flirting with students from his university, and then he loses his job at the university because he's actually not that great an academic. And
these are all like when he was campaigning, just like empty platitudes and things.
Well, yeah, I think he believed them at one point, but it just becomes clear that she's saddled her wagon or whatever to a guy that actually has not come to anything.
A dope.
Yeah. Well, and also she's just kind of bathed in self-loathing and she has bulimia.
Right.
And so it's a very, they're very kind of, well, not super graphic, but a really kind of unsettling view of what bulimia is and the way it kind of manifests and the way she treats her body and herself and the way she talks to herself through her bulimia.
Right.
And then she discovers aerobics just by another woman who's doing it at the, in the basement of a department store. And she just, it becomes her kind of outlet and she gives her all this sort of empowerment and this feeling of freedom that she can't get anywhere else. And so the trajectory of the show, it's not complete yet. There's, it drops one episode every week, but you can kind of see because it flashes forward that she starts creating DVDs and videos a bit like Jane Fonda-esque that are going to become massive.
Based on anybody in particular?
I don't think so. Yeah. I think I was listening to an interview with Annie Wiseman who created it. I think it's, I mean, there's loosely things around Jane Fonda because Jane Fonda had a series of DVDs, but I don't really think it's about that at all. I think it's more this idea that this woman who has become trapped in her own head and her own life, who keeps trying to support this husband who just takes her for granted and ignores her and then reels back in and ignores her. So she's, he decides to run for office again and it's very clear that she is the brains behind the whole thing and is working to get sponsors and get people interested and she comes up with the idea for his platform and everything and then he just treats her like, can you make me some eggs and get me a beer, sweetie? That kind of vibe and you can see this like boiling rage because you just hear her in a monologue even though she's just like quietly doing her makeup and then like making his eggs and vacuuming under his ass or whatever.
Yeah.
She's just, seething. Mm. And then she finds aerobics, becomes an instructor, and then it's just taking off now where she steals a video camera and instead of working on his campaign decides to completely ignore all of that and just throw herself into her own project.
Yeah, right.
And it's clear because of the flash forwards that she becomes humongous.
Yeah.
So I have no idea what happens to her kind of horrible husband and or her daughter because the scenes with her daughter are interesting because she's clearly not enjoying motherhood really and has no connection to her daughter and it's very – she's miserable. She's a really miserable human being. Anyway, it's just great and really interesting.
I've been meaning to watch it because I'm working my way through Broadchurch at the moment. I'm the only body who still hasn't watched Broadchurch. But no, I've been meaning to check that out and I definitely will because, like Apple, they – do a lot of good stuff.
And this one, I think because Annie Wiseman is such a great writer and it was created by her in her head, I think she's worked on like Desperate Housewives and range of kind of TV, popular TV shows.
Yeah.
I had a look on Google and I couldn't really find much else. I think she's also done plays.
Yeah, right.
So she's a playwright.
They're also they're so expensive these shows, eh? Like
they put so much money into it. Yeah,
just
you
the
can
fact
see.
That like you're setting something in a different time period, just the budget just balloons.
Yeah, and this like is that. Done really cleverly, really well, and you can see the kind of it just feels of the time.
Yeah,
if that makes sense, and it's quite witty and kind of darkly funny in spots, but very very also unsettling and kind of terrible and you kind of don't like her either. She's a very unlikable character because she's really hypercritical of everyone else as well. So she's hypercritical of her own body, but she's even more critical of the other women and the other people.
Yeah.
Like pretty much everybody in her entire life she hates.
Yeah.
Which is kind of amazing to see because it's her inner monologue and on the surface she's kind of like a nice queen kind of esque, like gorgeous looking person. Mm. And she's just quietly smiling and getting on with stuff while hating everyone around her.
Yeah, sounds about right.
Including herself, which is what's so awful. Anyway, but I'm hoping it gets better because, you know.
Check out Physical if you can. Correct. Funny, I was telling you this, or maybe it was even on the show, so stop me if I have, but Nike, sorry if you're in other places in the world, was the biggest selling
Nike
shoe.
Cow.
Yes, that's right, off the back of jogging being kind of like brought to the forefront in the 70s, and they didn't get on board with the aerobics trend, and so they end up then coming second to Reebok. Because they didn't jump on board. They kind of stuck with running, and people like, well, they're not running anymore. People are
doing aerobics and
whatever. But it was only then when they sort of accidentally signed Michael Jordan by default, because he chose them over other brands, because the bigger basketball players at the time were the biggest names at like Adidas or Adidas, again, if you're not in Australia, and these other shoes. So they got Jordan, and that's what then catapulted Nike to be the number one shoe, and has never not been since.
Wow. Yeah.
Anyway, that's interesting. But on the back of that, did you know also, speaking of Jane Fonda, I just want to quickly mention this. Do you remember Quibi?
No. Oh, yes, that weird app.
Yeah, there was a weird app.
I didn't understand. You explained to me on the show. Yeah. Yes, correct. I remember that.
It stood for Quick Bites, and it was basically, for those who don't know, it was a failed social media kind of network, Instagram kind of thing, where they paid celebrities to make short snippets, quick bites, it was short for. Anyway, they got a lot of celebrities on board, like Anna Kendrick did a show, like Sam Raimi from Spider-Man, who made the Spider-Man movies, did a show. And Gal Gadot, who's Wonder Woman, came in and was interested in doing something. And Jeffrey Katzenberg, who was an old Disney exec who started this and managed to like generate billions of dollars, said, oh, you know what we could do? You could do like Jane Fonda workout videos. She's like, fucking Wonder Woman. Like, what am I going to be doing workout videos? So she didn't end up doing... So that's a kind of example of... One of the many examples of why that platform didn't work.
Just the whole problem, like I was speaking to a person who'd worked in radio for a while, who when I was launching and thinking about my podcast concept told me I should do a podcast where I host it with two guys.
Yeah.
Because everyone loves that.
And I was right to say that.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Because, you know, that's what audiences respond to, you know. So I can be the one that's like, pipe down, Jared. Yes. Stop saying rude things, Tom.
Oh, silly. Come on, boys.
Oh, get on track, guys.
I don't know whether it's just me. And I don't think it's just me. I think everybody hates that format or is sick of that format. Is it just
I have no idea because
I don't know. I don't listen to radio.
That's
so
basically every
know?
Format yeah. on mainstream radio. So I don't know. I don't know whether the numbers actually suggest that
it's like
maybe
Byron
it's
and
very
Darren
mainstream.
And a woman or whatever.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. I mean, maybe there are shows that are more just a man and a woman now. It's very rare that there's two women because they sound the same.
Well, that's what I've been saying. That's me. I said that.
You did say, anyway, a little dislike. Yeah, I know, it's...
Radio sucks, who cares?
Well, it depends, yeah, possibly.
It does.
Listen to Suggestible instead.
Exactly, listen to this shit show.
Hey!
Speaking of...
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Oh, I watched two Netflix movies this week. Two okay Netflix movies. I'm going to talk about them together.
Okay,
okay,
here
that?
He goes. I am.
One of them is called Fatherhood. It stars Kevin Hart, Melody Heard, and DeWanda Wise. And it's directed by Chris Weitz with a screenplay by him and Dana Stevens. Now, it's based on a true story, a memoir that started as a blog by a father called Two Kisses for Maddie, a memoir of loss and love. So it's about a father who brings up his baby girl as a single dad after the unexpected death of his wife, who died a day after their daughter's birth. So the movie stars Kevin Hart, who he's not really prepared for fatherhood. You know, he's excited or whatever. They have the baby, everything's fine. This is all in the trailer as well. and his wife dies, like, immediately, right? So then he's kind of on his own, and it's about the struggles of parenthood, and not necessarily, like, about being a man, but it is a lot about that, and also the struggles of single parenthood and just, like, being alone. And then he's also leaning on his friends around him who maybe aren't great, who don't understand, but some of them kind of do or grow as he does. And, like, his grandparents and his parents and in-laws are kind of, they have their own ideas as well of what is best for Maddie, and it kind of charts that relationship. But, like, the core of the movie is, like, Kevin Hart and his daughter, who ends up being, like, I think she's about 6 or 7 by the end of the movie. It does a bit of a time jump. And that relationship kind of works really well. And it's like cliche and predictable, but it's like heartwarming. It's pretty good. Like, it's pretty good. I liked it. So if you haven't seen it and, you know, you're looking for something kind of light, it's worth watching. The director of this also did About a Boy. But it's not as like, that's a mean movie, which is why I like it. But that makes it, I haven't watched that movie in like 10 years. But it was solid. Like, I was surprised. And I write Kevin Hart off, you know, because he's so famous and so rich. And I watched that comedy special he did in Madison Square Gardens, and the screen was like 100 feet tall. And I'm like, this is the worst thing I've ever seen. But, you know, he's good in Jumanji. He had his last special was much better, I found. This movie's pretty good. You know, he's a decent actor, you know, and he's you know, he's a good performer. So that was pretty good. And the other one is called Good on Paper, which has, what have we got here? Eliza Schlesinger, thank you. Yeah.
Because I love her comedy.
Yeah, she's great.
Yeah, she is really great.
And stars her and Ryan Hansen and Margaret Cho. And this is also based on a true story from Eliza herself. So after years of putting her career ahead of love, stand-up comic Andrea Singer, who's her name in the movie, stumbles upon the perfect guy. And on paper, Dennis checks all the boxes. But Andrea's friend, Margot, is convinced that he's not all he appears to be. So this is based on a person that she met in real life on a plane, right? She was flying between comedy shows, okay?
Yeah.
So they start talking and he's like, I go to Yale. I'm a hedge fund manager. And he's like talking about like he's excellent at golf and he earns all this money and he's got this house and blah, blah, blah. And all, he just says all of these things. There's even a moment where he's like, my mum has cancer. Like, he says all this stuff. And they develop a friendship and he's eventually like, we should like date, you know what I mean? She's like, I don't want to date you. You're like, I'm not attracted to you, right? Mm. But he kind of wears her down, which is what happened in real life. And the moment where he was like, my mum has cancer, was the bit that kind of got her to kind of open up to him, and they started dating. Anyway, as is in the trailer as well, so spoiler alert, he's lying. None of it is true. Like, he didn't go to any of these schools. And it starts to add up. And Margaret Cho, who plays her best friend, who's a bar owner where she does some of, like, has a lot of her stand-up, she starts to, like, piece things together. And in real life, it was her mum. And she was, like, ringing around, like, Yale, and there's no record of him and whatever. And they visit his house, and it's, like, it's not, like, someone else is living there. And the place then that he is living at is, he's got a roommate, and they're like, why do you have a roommate? And he's like, oh, because my mum, who has cancer, is living in my house and whatever. So it's just, like, lies upon lies. And it just completely spirals, and they're kind of following this guy around and trying to like piece it together towards like what's going on. And she feels like completely betrayed because she's like, I didn't even like this fucking guy. You know what I mean?
But
like,
I should have
trusted my instincts in the first place.
Yeah.
And so the whole thing spirals. But I guess what I didn't like about it is it ends in this kind of court case. Like, it just kind of jumps a few months and they're in this court case together. And it's just not great. Like, it's just, and that part I've heard of the story isn't true. And I think that's maybe why it doesn't feel as interesting or as real.
Oh, because it didn't go
in. Didn't happen. But every one of the lies that's in the movie is something that he told her in real life.
Wow.
So it's still like this stand-up bit that she's done before as well. Like, I remember seeing her do it like 5 or 6 years ago or whatever. It's on YouTube. You can look it up. So that's the fascinating thing for me. In that movie. And again, it's okay. It's pretty good.
And her comedy's really great.
Yeah, she's great. She's so got funny. A few, I think at least one or two on Netflix.
Got heaps. I reckon there might be even 3 or 4.
Okay, cool.
I think she's got better over time because I think some of it is a little bit anti-women. Like, it's a bit overly critical of women. And
well, about they've had it too good for too long.
but it's still hilarious and really great. But I think as time's gone on, and I guess as society's changed too, her comedy's become a lot more supportive of women.
Sure.
While still being self-deprecating.
Yeah, yeah.
But you know how there's a line?
Sure,
and
yeah.
Sometimes you can just be like, oh, women are so annoying, you know, all that
so
kind
true.
Of stuff.
Yeah.
Anyway, she does this really funny comedy bit about how women pretend that they're like beautiful and lovely and like roses come out their bums and they're just like gorgeous
yeah.
all the time. And then as soon as their boyfriend leaves their apartment, they're like, and they come out and just like sit in like mainline crackers on the bench while sitting in like old jocks and like just before the boyfriend gets there, they're like scooping everything under the couches and like sweeping crumbs away yeah. and like pretending that they wear like lacy bras every day, you know, all that yeah, kind yeah. of stuff. Anyway, she does it in this really kind of funny way and she has this kind of gremlin voice that she creates, this kind of body of this gremlin that like comes out as soon as like the boys leave the apartment. Anyway, it's cool. quite funny.
Okay, check it out if you haven't.
That's how I really want to watch that.
Yeah, it's good. Again, I think it does kind of fall apart a bit, but yeah, it's interesting and it's, I think it's, she also looked up a bunch of stuff regarding like this guy and what happened in real life. And apparently like they just kind of fell apart and they just went their separate ways. And then he saw a picture of her that she posted on Instagram in like a bikini. And then he messaged her out of the blue and was like, you shouldn't be dressing like this, blah, blah. It's like a year later. This part is real.
Yes.
And she's just like, get fucked. Like she kind of felt yeah. sorry for him because she was like, the things I liked about you weren't the things you lie about. Like, I don't care if you went to Yale or you can play yeah. golf. Like, who gives a shit? But she's like, I liked that you were funny and charming, like, and, you know, and you were friendly. And the fact that he felt that he needed to, you know, do all these things. Because she thinks it maybe came down to, the, like, he wasn't, like, the best looking guy, maybe. But,
And that was why he did it?
Yeah.
Was he a psychopath? You know, that kind
know.
Of sociopath?
I think just maybe. Or? I don't know. I think he was just deeply insecure, from what I can tell from...
Yeah, maybe yeah. a pathological way.
Yeah, oh, that definitely.
Yeah.
yeah. Oh, it's funny, so those people, because it's like, it becomes so obvious at a point, you know what I mean? I'm sure you've yeah. met a few that it's like, why are you doing this? And I think it's like, it must be like a compulsion and a, you know, a mental disorder, because you wouldn't just keep doing that, you know what I mean? Like,
well, I think the hard part about it is that once you start doing it, you kind of building this web
remember,
for yourself.
Yeah.
It's interesting because I guess there's a spectrum with all, and I, to be clear, I have zero understanding, have read zero about this kind of thing.
And here we go.
But here I go, my two cents from the armchair expert over here. But I do remember listening to, what was it, Who's Hamish? I think it's like something like that. I'll look it up. It's a podcast. Mm. I think it's Who the Hell is Hamish?
Right.
And it's about this guy who's a serial conman who kind of will literally draw women in, have a relationship, but have maybe three or four lives going at the same time.
Yeah, right.
And he was able to swindle people out of huge amounts of money yes. and, you know, that kind of thing by, like, creating this person that didn't actually exist and then living off women that he's met and kind of taken in. And they think he's this really wealthy guy who goes into the city every day for work, but actually he's going into the city to, like, meet his other family,
yeah.
you know, that kind of thing. Or you use their credit cards and in their name buy expensive yachts and like champagne and all this stuff. Anyway, the podcast is really interesting because it kind of follows the trajectory of him as a person and interviews different people who met him along the way. And he had all these different names and personas. Yeah, he's still alive. Yeah.
So I feel like a guy like that ends up dead. You know what I mean?
Yeah. For one reason or another. Yeah. I'm pretty sure he's still alive. Yeah. I feel like he potentially went to jail. It was created by a guy called Greg Bearup, who delves into the fascinating and devastating life of a serial conman.
Mm.
And he actually also weirdly looks different depending on the character or the person
yeah.
that he's
yeah,
taken on.
Guys,
so like
yeah.
his hair's different and he's like he puts on weight or loses weight and it's like really, really strange. But yeah, no, it sounds like I think he's gone to jail. Yeah.
Well, there you go.
I'm pretty sure he went to jail.
That's fun.
Yeah, so there you go. Anyway, a really interesting podcast and that kind of world, I guess. So that's like the end of the spectrum of this kind of stuff. But there
yeah.
are people who just tell lies.
Yeah, absolutely.
Just kind of maybe it starts as white lies and it gets bigger. I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah, we met those. All right.
I live it. I love it.
yeah, can
anyway,
I?
Again, two pretty good movies.
Two pretty good movies. Check them out. Yeah, I'm totally going to do that.
Yeah.
So cool. Especially the second one. I think
I think you probably, I think that, well, that one's funnier. And I think you'd probably like,
though I do, I think that I've seen the trailer for the Kevin Hart movie and it
surprised me
because
I was like, oh, this is going to be bullshit or whatever. But it actually surprised me. It's
cool.
Pretty good.
Yeah. All right, I'm going to do that. Now, I got given this beautiful book.
Oh my God, I love, now, were you given or lent, Claire?
No, I was lent.
I was going to say, because you're not just claiming this book, are you?
No. I just meant as in a friend dropped this off. She's so lovely. She's the mum of one of the kids around the corner. Mm-hmm. And I noticed it in her house because there's just, it's so full of these like incredibly gorgeous quotes.
Weasel, this is like the Seinfeld pen bit.
Yeah,
it's like, take the pen.
I know, and I didn't want to take the book. I just really liked the book and I was asking you about it. Anyway, it's called The Boy, the Mole, the Fox and the Horse by Charlie McKeezy. And Charlie has a beautiful Instagram. I didn't know anything about him. He's got like millions of followers. And,
what's his name, Charlie?
Charlie McKeezy, McKeesy. And he's this incredible artist and illustrator and writer. And he kind of stomps around being kind of messy and all over the place. And
this is cool.
It's just such a beautiful art style. But every page is kind of an illustration with a quote, and the whole book itself follows the friendship between the boy and the mole, the fox joins, and then the horse. And it kind of just develops from there in a really simple story, but each page could be an artwork that speaks for itself.
Yeah, right.
So I just want to show you just his art style and the way he writes. It's all done in ink, so he's penned it
really,
himself.
I'm just flicking through. Yeah, it's really beautiful.
Yeah, it's absolutely beautiful. So I'll just read you a little bit of his
It's not poetry,
intro.
Is it?
No, it's not poetry.
Here's one he did of Prince Philip. But other than that, that's all right.
Okay, so I'll read you the little bit of the intro. The drawings are mainly of a boy, a mole, a fox and a horse. I'll tell you a little bit about them, although I'm sure you'll see things here that I don't, so I'll be quick. The boy is lonely when the mole first surfaces. They spend time together gazing into the wild. I think the wild is a bit like life, frightening sometimes but beautiful. Mm. In their wanderings, they meet the fox. It's never going to be easy meeting a fox if you're a mole. The boy is full of questions. The mole is greedy for cake. The fox is mainly silent and wary because he's been hurt by life. The horse is the biggest thing they have ever encountered and also the gentlest. They are all different like us and each has their own weaknesses. I can see myself in all four of them. Perhaps you can too. Their adventures happen in springtime where one moment snow is falling and the sun shines the next. Which is also a little bit like life. It can turn on a sixpence. So it's just beautiful. He says he spends a lot of his life living in his head in this world,
which
I thought was really gorgeous. And there's some beautiful quotes. So, for instance, it's sort of you need to kind of see the illustrations to really get a sense of it, I think.
But I had no idea this book was like, this is what it was.
Oh, really? Yeah, it's absolutely gorgeous. And it does follow a story. But for instance, it's kind of often just has a question that the boy will ask and be one of the creatures will answer it.
Yeah.
So this one is, what do you think success is? Asked the boy. To love, said the mole. And it's just really simple. You can see that illustration.
Oh, the mole's got a gun.
Yeah. The mole's mainly interested in cake, actually, throughout the book. He's kind of like
is
funny.
Is it a metaphor or is it literally?
I think it might be well hello. And there's like a well hello and there's a mole sitting in front of a cake. Which
mole's
going to
die.
I really enjoy.
He's going to die of too much cake.
He might, yeah. This one is, do you have a favourite saying? Asked the boy. Yes, said the mole. What is it? Said the boy. If at first you don't succeed, have some cake.
Ah, mole. You'll never learn. You're like Garfield.
Yeah.
But instead of lasagna, it's a gun you have. Well, I mean cake.
Oh, God. Well, there we go. Anyway, I just think I'm not always into giving kind of books with art and quotes. I think they can be
like
a bit
Ludwig?
Naff. Yeah, and I just think people often don't really ever open them or read them.
Yeah, right.
But this book, I think, because it's an ongoing story in that it's very simple, you can read it with kids, but the levels of it are so deeply touching and important. You know, there's one where they talk about what's the greatest thing you can ever do and it's ask for help. You know, that kind of stuff.
Sure, yeah.
So absolutely. I think it would be a beautiful book to give someone who might be struggling in your life or actually anyone in your life, maybe even to give someone who was graduating or a teen in your life who was kind of a bit lost. I just think it's
so any teen really. Or any person, I guess.
Actually, any person. I just think if you're looking for a gift for someone, it's such a beautiful thing. And if you yourself even need a pep me up or to reflect on some stuff, go and follow him over at his Instagram because the quotes and his artistry is over there for free. But the book is beautiful and it's a hardcover book. So,
Oh no,
the baby's awake. All right, so let's be quick. That's it for us.
Let's wrap it up. I made mention that I'd say on the Weekly Planet what I thought of Black Widow, the movie, because our review is next week, to get people to listen to this.
Ooh.
It's pretty good. I was surprised. It's pretty good. I wasn't really expecting much. It's pretty good. I think you'll like it. There's a whole...
I'm really excited.
There's a whole scene about in the movie where they talk about pockets. And I know you're a big fan of pockets.
Hey, I'm totally into that.
So as soon as that scene was happening, I'm like, Claire's going to fucking love this.
Because that's all women want, really. Yeah. Equality, but mainly pockets in things.
Yeah. It's genuine. Yeah. I wasn't expecting anything. And it was like, it's one of the better ones.
And you know what? That is an actually rounding endorsement from you, because you very rarely come back, if ever, and say that you enjoyed a movie.
It's like, yeah, whatever. Yeah. I came back after Fast 9, you're like, how was it? I'm like, ugh.
Yeah, correct, exactly. So that's really exciting.
Yeah.
Cool, I can't wait to watch that.
We can see it on Friday. It's going to be on streaming.
Oh, I'm so excited. Yeah. It's going to be awesome. Can I talk about it on this show?
Yeah, definitely. I think people would be interested to know what you think. So we're going to talk about the Weekly Planet, but no, I'd actually love to know what you're going to talk about. We'd get you on for the review, but people would hate that.
They would hate it.
You'd be like, boys, keep it down.
Yeah, one girl and two boys. That's the way I roll.
Don't be so silly, boys.
Don't be so silly. All right, so you can review the show in app, can't you, James?
You can, and I've actually got one right here from Owen Parr. We got a bunch of reviews this week, or four or five, so I appreciate it. Keep them coming. I am making my way through them. It says, excellent podcast. Really great podcast that helps me escape the harsh realities of the world, except for when they talk, when they literally talk about the harsh realities of the world in every episode. Not to mention it helps me escape from the bloody ball and chain. Am I right, boys?
Oh, God.
You're goodness. So right, Owen.
We do. We just complain about life every week.
Do you have your own?
I do. And today I have a little voice memo. So you can send us a voice memo by emailing the show, suggestiblepod@gmail.com. Or you can just write a regular old letter. It's up to you. But here's one I prepared earlier.
You prepared it?
I did. Would you like to hear
it? Yeah, because I haven't heard it.
Okay, I'm passing you the headphone.
Pass me the headphone. All right, here we bloody go.
Here he goes. You ready?
Up. Hello, James and Claire. Claire and James, whichever way round you like to go. I'm Ben. I'm one of your listeners in Glasgow. And I have a little suggestible for you guys today. So,
Glasgow.
My suggestible is the Off Menu podcast with James Acaster and Ed Gamble. They're both British comedians. You've probably heard of them,
I think.
If not, it's worth listening to. Now, my main suggestible is their most recent episode with Dan Aykroyd. I think both you guys will enjoy it, but probably James slightly more than Claire. But Claire, I have a few suggestions, and James, to be fair, within this that you would also enjoy. So my suggestion comes with a slight caveat, and that is do not go in listening to the Dan Aykroyd podcast first. It's hilarious, it's disjointed, it's mental. All he does is pitch... Crystal Head vodka the whole time because, you know, why does he care about Ghostbusters or Blues Brothers anymore? I would recommend you go in listening to one of their other guests. They've had some fantastic ones. They've had Martin Freeman. They've had Rafe Spall from Trying.
Love Rafe Spall.
They've had Shane. Sorry, I'm dyslexic. I'm terrible at reading. Clifford, the sister from Fleabag. Aisling B, who you'll know from Living With Yourself. On Netflix with Paul Rudd.
I know.
And This Way Up as well, which I believe Claire mentioned quite recently. They've had David Cross from Risk Development.
Yep.
And my personal favourite, and I'm not sure if you guys will have heard of him over in Australia, but my personal favourite ever episode is Greg Davies' episode, I would highly recommend that. So if you listen to any of those episodes first and then go and listen to the Dan Aykroyd one, you will hopefully deeply enjoy it. It's chaotic. It's brilliant. The podcast itself is just worth checking out in its own. Anyway, I rambled for far too long, but thank you very much. You have been such a blessing throughout all the multiple different lockdowns and the last year or so. I hope you're both well. Much love. Bye.
Thank you so much. That was lovely. Also, we do know Greg Davies. Someone got to grab that gem out of him. He's from like The Inbetweeners and a bunch of other stuff.
Yeah.
Someone got him to say it and record it.
Bloody cool.
No, that sounds really good. I just added the Martin Freeman one to my list of podcasts to listen to. So I'm going to start with that one and then jump around a bit, and then get to Dan Aykroyd pitching Crystal Head Vodka, which is literally all that guy does now. Oh, and he talks about UFOs and shit.
Cool.
Yeah.
I'm really into UFOs.
Why?
So I can get the bloody hell out of here.
Yeah, it's true. Where are you going to go?
Somewhere else.
Alien planet. I don't care. Like, I do love how they're like, UFOs are real, and people are like, who gives a shit?
Do you know what? At this point, I would just prefer if they stopped looking in the sky and started helping the ocean. That's true. How I feel.
Because the ocean was on fire or whatever.
Our son literally said to me that he's like, Mommy, why do they keep chopping down the trees? The trees are really good for us. They make air. And I was like, I know, mate. It doesn't make any sense.
Does he also know that seaweed, like a lot of that also comes from the ocean as well, the oxygen?
Yeah. We haven't told him that, but we should. And the other thing, remember you said the ocean when it was on fire this week?
Oh, shit. Look, the ocean's on fire. I showed the video and he was like, what? And I'm like, oh, not all of it. Just like one
little bit.
Because I think he just looked like the whole ocean. No,
it was
like
on fire. And because he's such a sincere and smart, I think he's smart anyway, kid. He just like, you could tell his eyes were just like, he has the same look that I bet you had as a kid, which is that everyone's an idiot. No one knows what they're doing and what the hell are we going to do? You were, which does that not give you a lot of comfort though?
No, really, it doesn't. Does it? And also because I don't have the intelligence to fix anything. So it's like, well, this is frustrating, isn't it? Yeah. Anyway, we should bloody wrap it up, mate.
All right. Just on that positive note. All right. I'll see you soon.
Me?
Yeah, you probably, in general. Yeah. Probably. We live together, so I will.
That's right.
Anyway, thank you for listening. We've reached Desperate Podcast. You can find us on the internet, on your app.
I thought you were going to say, you can go to hell. Go out to hell.
Well, thanks to Real Callings for editing this episode as well.
Much appreciated.
We think you're great. And everyone's going to be okay.
And there's only two episodes of Loki left. Collings, just hang in there. Right?
Hang in there, mate. I know. He's it's a big thing. All he's right. Doing a big thing.
Thanks,
okay.
Everyone.
Thanks, everyone. Bye.
Bye.
This podcast is part of the Planet Broadcasting Network.
Visit planetbroadcasting.com for more podcasts from our great mates.
I mean, if you want. It's up to you.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.